Chapter 10. Toxins. In Chapter 3, we looked at some of the toxins that cause disease, mistakenly attributed to microbes, in times past. Those dwelling in cities and towns lived in constant danger of exposure to poisonous gases from sewage and manure. Volatile compounds like hydrogen sulfide, ammonia, methane, esters, carbon monoxide, sulfur dioxide, and nitrogen oxides can kill people through asphyxiation when they are exposed to high concentrations. Other effects include eye irritation, nausea, and breathing difficulty. Our ancestors were also exposed on a daily basis to dioxins and other toxins in smoke, from fires built for warmth, cooking, and metal work. Even today, smoke from cooking fires is a major source of air pollution in the developing world, especially smoke from open fires inside houses and huts. Our ancestors also had to contend with toxic metals, lead used in pipes, cooking vessels, building materials, and cosmetics, arsenic used in metal alloys, cosmetics, and medical treatments, and mercury used in ointments and medicines, cosmetics, metal amalgams, and silver mining. Although today we recognize the extreme toxicity of these substances, they have not gone away, especially arsenic. Contamination of groundwater with arsenic is a problem that affects millions of people across the world. Heavily used as an insecticide in the late 19th and early 20th centuries, arsenic use in produce production is no longer common, except in cotton farming. However, its use as a feed additive in poultry and swine production, especially in the United States, has increased. For example, an arsenic-containing feed additive called Roxarzone is used by about 70% of U.S. poultry growers. The first edition of the Merck Manual featured many mercury-based medicines. A tonic containing mercury constituted the standard treatment for syphilis, the classic example of a deadly medicine far worse than the disease it was designed to treat. Use of mercury in medicine has declined, although some over-the-counter drugs including topical antiseptics, stimulant laxatives, diaper rash ointment, eye drops, and nasal sprays contain mercury compounds. The main medical uses for mercury today are in dental amalgams, which constantly outgas mercury into the mouth and sinus cavities, and as a vaccine preservative called thimerosal. After studies showing that the amount of mercury in the childhood vaccination schedule recommended by the CDC exceeded all national and global maximum safety limits, public pressure forced manufacturers to remove thimerosal or reduce it to trace amounts in all U.S. vaccines recommended for children 6 years of age and under. But manufacturers did not remove mercury from the multi-dose vials of the inactivated flu vaccine, which is given to pregnant women, children under the age of one, and, of course, adults. The result is that if the flu vaccine is added to a child's vaccine schedule, he is likely to get more mercury in his bloodstream than he did before the removal of thimerosal from the other childhood vaccinations. Small amounts of mercury residues from the manufacturing process still remain in most vaccines. The industrial use of mercury has declined, but it is still an ingredient in some measuring instruments, and it fills fluorescent lamps, including those compact bulbs that have largely replaced incandescent light bulbs. If they break in your house, you and your family will be exposed to toxic mercury fumes. If they break in a landfill, the mercury will pollute the soil and groundwater. Cyanide compounds are a byproduct of many industrial processes, such as oil refining and the production of polyurethanes. Many cyanide compounds are toxic. They can prevent the production of ATP, needed for energy-making processes, particularly affecting the central nervous system and the heart, leading to hypoxia, oxygen deprivation, a common symptom of the COVID illness. Cigarette smoke is an undisclosed source of cyanide compounds. Humanity is also exposed to formaldehyde, benzene, cadmium, phthalate, fluoride, and chloride compounds in drinking water, including chloramines, preferred by public water agencies because they persist and do not break down over time, and a host of pesticides, including the highly toxic cholinesterase inhibitors, nervous system poisons, sprayed on citrus fruit. These make their way into milk, butter, yogurt, and cheese via citrus peel cake fed to dairy cows. Toxins in food range from propylene glycol and antifreeze added to ice cream to keep it soft and creamy, formaldehyde and methyl alcohol, breakdown products of the artificial sweetener aspartame, the artificial sweetener acesulfame K, dough conditioners, artificial colorings and flavorings including MSG, preservatives, artificial vitamins, including beta-carotene, and chemical antioxidants like butylated hydroxyanisole, BHA, propylgalate, and tert-butylhydroquinone, which are added to vegetable oils and fried foods such as potato chips. Those with pre-existing conditions like diabetes, obesity, hypertension, and heart disease, those who are most vulnerable to the illness attributed to coronavirus, are likely to have developed these conditions in large part due to processed foods loaded with these additives. How much they contribute to this disease is impossible to say, but it is reasonable to speculate that processed foods containing these and other chemicals play a role as cofactors in the coronavirus illness, indeed in any disease. The standard American diet not only starves our tissues, but it also poisons them at the same time. Researcher Stephanie Seneff, PhD, has pointed out the fact that the early epicenters of COVID correspond with areas of high air pollution: Wuhan, China; the tri-state region, New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, Northern Italy, Spain; and Jefferson Parish, Louisiana, and particularly with the use of biodiesel. She notes that a Harvard Institute for Public Health study found a strong correlation between exposure to particulate air pollution and COVID deaths. The researchers found that an increase of only 1 microgram per cubic meter in fine particulate matter was associated with a 15% increase in the COVID fatality rate. It bears repeating that atmospheric dust, that is, pollution, can exacerbate the effects of EMFs. Seneff notes that New York relies heavily on biodiesel fuel for public vehicles, and New York State has a large number of manufacturing plants where biomass from various sources, including used cooking oil, is processed into biofuels. The state also encourages the use of biofuel for home heating oil. Biodiesel and biofuel made from plants contain the herbicide glyphosate, Roundup, which Seneff believes has a unique mechanism of toxicity. She points to a case of a mechanic who tried to clean a clogged applicator for glyphosate-based herbicide using a bucket of diesel fuel as a solvent. He quickly developed a bad cough and started coughing up blood. Rushed to the hospital, he was diagnosed with pneumonitis, an inflammatory disease of the lungs caused by exposure to toxic substances. Seneff postulates that the organic molecules in diesel fuel enhance the uptake of glyphosate in the lung cells by acting as a surfactant. Glyphosate substitutes for the amino acid glycine found in cartilage, numerous enzymes, and important lung surfactants, leading to a myriad of problems, including lung disease. Seneff points out that many U.S. COVID hotspots include major ports such as Seattle, Los Angeles, New Orleans, Boston, and New York. She notes that air pollution from ships is more toxic than air pollution from land vehicles, because ships use the lowest grade of diesel fuel. In Europe, over 20% of automobiles are powered by diesel fuel versus 2% in the United States. Unable to keep up with the demand for diesel fuel, Europe imports biodiesel, made primarily from GMO Roundup Ready soy, from Argentina. The Chinese produce biodiesel from canola, rapeseed, which is highly sprayed with Roundup, much of which grows along the Yangtze River, which cuts through Wuhan. In the United States, 3 cities have adopted biodiesel for vehicle use on the roads: New York, which powered 11,000 vehicles at least partially on biodiesel as of 2017, New Orleans, which uses biofuel in buses, and Washington, D.C., all COVID hotspots. All crops used for biodiesel in the United States are Roundup Ready crops sprayed with glyphosate, corn, soy, canola, and hardwood trees. Aviation biofuel is another potential source of airborne glyphosate, first introduced by United Airlines and now in use by at least 4 airlines using New York City airports. The New York borough most affected by coronavirus is Queens. On the flight paths of New York's 3 major airports, LaGuardia, JFK, and Newark, and intersected by 3 major interstate highways. In Britain, news reports have singled out bus drivers and people living in the town of Slough, adjacent to Heathrow Airport, as being especially affected. Test flights and commercial flights running on aviation biofuel blends have been flying into and out of Heathrow since 2008. On the ground, the Mayor of London reported in July 2017 that about a third of the city's nearly 10,000 buses were running on 20% blends of biodiesel. The mayor also stated that by 2018, London would no longer add pure diesel double-deck buses to its fleet. Taiwan has a low rate of coronavirus deaths. Taiwan's cities have plenty of air pollution, but not from biofuels. Taiwan vehicles do not use biodiesel. In May 2014, the state-run oil refining company started phasing out biodiesel fuel production because, due to the island's high humidity, even a 2% biodiesel blend resulted in the growth of microbes that clogged fuel tanks. One New England hotspot is Chelsea, Massachusetts, where much biofuel is produced. As of May 1, 2020, Chelsea ranked number one in Massachusetts, with 363 cases per 10,000 people. Brockton, the number two city, had only 185 cases per 10,000. Glyphosate exposure comes not just through the air but in our food, and exposure is highest in the United States, which uses the most glyphosate per capita of any country. SANEF attributes the high rate of many chronic diseases, including diabetes, obesity, fatty liver disease, heart disease, celiac disease, inflammatory bowel disease, hypertension, autism, and dementia to glyphosate exposure. In a 2014 landmark study, Swanson and co-authors showed that many of these chronic diseases are rising in the U.S. population exactly in lockstep with the rise in glyphosate usage, particularly on wheat, which is sprayed with glyphosate shortly before harvest as a desiccant. Whether ingested in food or breathed in from biodiesel, the effects of glyphosate are insidious, cumulative, and widespread. According to SANEF, glyphosate's mechanism of toxicity has to do with a proposed ability to mistakenly substitute for the coding amino acid glycine during protein synthesis. This is plausible because glyphosate is a glycine molecule, except that there is an additional attachment, a methylphosphonyl group, to the nitrogen atom of glycine, which changes the size and chemical and physical properties of the molecule but does not prevent it from incorporating into a peptide chain. It can be predicted that certain proteins will be affected in a devastating way if glyphosate should substitute for particular glycine residues known to be very important for their proper function. I have found that many of the diseases with rising prevalence can be explained through glyphosate substitution in specific proteins known to be defective in association with those diseases. Starved and poisoned, the typical American soon develops one or more chronic diseases and seeks medical advice. Once in the clutches of the medical establishment, he becomes the target of more toxins, starting with statin drugs. The list of side effects from statin drugs is long and includes muscle pain or cramps, fatigue, fever, memory loss, confusion, diabetes, kidney and liver damage, heart failure, and digestive disorders. Most seriously, statins diminish the cholesterol available to cells and diminish the fat-soluble vitamins and other nutrients that are carried in the lipoproteins. With statins, your cells are starved of the nutrients they need to produce energy and keep your intercellular water organized. A Wenzhou Medical University study found that COVID patients had significantly lower cholesterol levels than did controls. In addition to statins, most Americans take other drugs. A study published by the Mayo Clinic found that 70% of Americans take at least one prescription medication and that 20% of Americans are on five or more medications. These include metformin to lower blood sugar, blood pressure medications including ACE inhibitors, which act on the same receptors as exosomes, steroids, antiepileptics, antidepressants, pain medications, stomach acid inhibitors, and antibiotics. Many also take one or more over-the-counter drugs such as Tylenol, cough suppressants, sleep aids, and antacids. All these drugs have side effects, which means that all of them can act as poisons in the body. The side effects of ACE inhibitor blood pressure lowering drugs, such as lisinopril, are similar to those of COVID: a dry, persistent cough, dizziness, possible nausea, headache, and trouble breathing. A final toxin, one that highly impacts our response to electromagnetic radiation, is aluminum, with an electrical conductivity only slightly less than that of copper. In fact, there are few more biologically reactive metals than aluminum. Aluminum binds strongly to oxygen-based compounds such as the phosphate groups in ATP, needed for the production of energy. In simple terms, too much aluminum in the body reduces our energy. Human exposure in the 21st century is especially high. Aluminum is in most public tap water, it is used as a flocculant to clarify the water, and it is discharged from fertilizer and aluminum manufacturing. Jet engines spew aluminum ions into the air, particularly problematic for those living in the flight paths of major airports. Aluminum compounds abound in toothpaste, mouthwash, soaps, skincare products, tanning creams, cosmetics, shampoos, hair products, deodorants, baby products, nail polish, perfume, food, food packaging, sunscreen, antacids, and buffered aspirin. Aluminum levels are especially high in infant formula, particularly soy formula. Aluminum leaches into food from aluminum foil and cookware. Another undisclosed source is marijuana. Users can absorb as much as 3,700 micrograms of aluminum per joint, representing a significant risk factor for neurodegeneration. Aluminum levels are especially high in the brains of those with Alzheimer's and autism. The body has a certain tolerance for aluminum. Beneficial gut flora can prevent its absorption, and a good immune system offers some protection against airborne aluminum. But the body lacks such tolerance for aluminum injected into the bloodstream. Mercury may have been removed or reduced in vaccines, but not aluminum. In fact, manufacturers have added more aluminum in order to provoke the production of antibodies, said to prove an immune response. All of the diphtheria, tetanus, and pertussis vaccines DT, DTaP, TD, TDAP, and combination vaccines with a DTaP component Haemophilus influenzae type B, HIB, vaccine, hepatitis A and B and the hepatitis A-B combination vaccines, the meningococcal and pneumococcal vaccines, and the human papillomavirus HPV vaccines contain aluminum. In fact, the newest HPV vaccine, Gardasil 9, recommended for teenage girls and boys, contains more than double the amount of aluminum than the original Gardasil vaccine. In 2011, distinguished immunologist Yehuda Schoenfeld and colleagues proposed the term autoimmune inflammatory syndrome induced by adjuvants, Asia, to describe the unusual immune-mediated diseases in humans and animals that appear after injection with aluminum-containing vaccines. Asia manifests as vague and sundry symptoms, chronic fatigue, muscle and joint pain, sleep disturbances, cognitive impairment, skin rashes and more. Aluminum accumulates, and the more you put in the system, the more you have. When you inject aluminum, you inject it directly into the immune system. The researchers also noted that a person would have to eat 1,000,000-fold higher aluminum to get the same level of injected aluminum adjuvant at the level of the immune cells. The amount of aluminum injected into babies via multiple vaccinations exceeds anything that can be considered safe. A baby who receives the recommended 8 doses of vaccine at the 2-month checkup receives 1225 micrograms of aluminum at once. Fully vaccinated babies receive 4925 micrograms by 18 months. The maximum allowable aluminum considered safe per day for intravenous parenteral feeding is 25 micrograms. Many flu shots given to seniors contain aluminum, along with mercury and other contaminants such as formaldehyde and polysorbate 80. Those who received the flu shot in the United States during the 2017-2018 influenza season had a 36% increased risk of coronavirus illness. In northern Italy, a campaign to inject the elderly with new types of influenza vaccines took place in 2018-2019, and in June 2019, the Chinese instituted mandatory flu vaccine for all ages. We live in a toxic world. Add millimeter wave 5G technology to the mix and illness is sure to ensue.